Well, good morning. It's good to be in church together. If you've got your notes out of your bulletin, go ahead and pull those out. You got your Bibles. You got your hearts open. You're ready to receive something from God. Somebody asked me this morning when they came in, I won't call any names, is there going to be any good preaching this morning? I said, only if God shows up. Only if God shows up. How many of you know there's nothing good in any of us but God? But how many of you know He is good? He is good all the time. And so praise God. So, you know, I don't have any confidence in any human suit that gets up here, human flesh, but I have every confidence in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit knows what every one of us needs. Let me just say this. Let your walk with God be real. Let your walk with God be real. Let your walk with God be authentic. Let your walk with God be what your life is about. Don't make your walk with God the center and let everything else rotate around it. You know, as believers, if you know God and if you are saved, we are not to be the center of our universe with all these things that we're involved with all out here and God just being one of them. God is to be the center of our lives. God is to be the center of our lives. I remember one time when I was a kid, you know, you have certain things that stick with you through the years. I still remember we were back in the old Victory Church out across the river. And I remember Jesse Duplantis was preaching out there. And he said this one time. He can say things that I couldn't say. So he said this. He said, if you're going to go to hell, he said, go with gusto. He said, don't do it on the church pew. He said, because this is the only heaven you're going to ever have right here. He said, but listen, if you're going God's way, give it all, go with gusto. Give it all you got. For a believer, a believer's life can be somewhat miserable. Do you know what I'm talking about? A believer's life is miserable when we know what to do, but we're not willing to do it. A believer's life can be miserable when we know truth, but we haven't allowed that truth to set us free. A believer's life can be miserable when we try to have a foot in and a foot out. Listen, God never intended for it to be that way in our lives. He wants us all in. You ever been in the summertime and you were burning hot? Maybe you've been mowing the yard or whatever, and you had a swimming pool, and you said, I just need refreshing. You didn't come over to the pool and just stick a toe in. You just jumped all in into a spring. How many of you, God wants us to jump all in with Him. He wants us to jump all in with Him. So this morning, our expectation is that God is going to show up, and He already has, and that He's going to do what He wants to do in each and every one of our lives, if we will allow Him to. Do you know that we have that power? There's only one thing that God will not do, and He will not break our will. He will not force the door open in our lives. He will stand at the door and knock. But we have the power to allow God into our lives and into our situation or to keep Him out. Isn't that an amazing thing? Because what? He gave us that power. He gave us that power. So do you this morning want to open your heart to the Holy Spirit to receive what it is that He has for you? It'd be an awful shame for y'all to get up and dress up and make up and look so good and come to church and then leave and not be changed. I just love being with a group of people that says, we're real. This is a real journey. We serve a real God. His promises really impact my life. His truth really does set me free. And I really am going to walk with Him. And He's really going to change my life today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I don't want to be a part of something that's not real, do you? We just came back from a good group of us that were in the church. I had the privilege, our Freedom Pastor, Crystal and Mike Fell, they had set up a Kairos 2 trip for a group of people. So appreciate the ministry that they do here, Mike and Crystal and the Freedom team. But to send a group out to Gateway for a Kairos 2 this end of the week on Thursday and Friday. And it was just a powerful time. One of the things I enjoy the most is I enjoy being with my brothers and sisters together in tight spaces for long periods of time. I mean, you know, that's a good thing to do. And you know, when we get to heaven, that's one of the things that's going to be so great about heaven. Is there anybody in this room or is there anybody in your life that you love and you just don't get to have the time with them? I mean, no, we're going to have eternity together as God continues to move fantastically in our lives. So we had a great trip. God did great things in our lives. And we can believe that He's going to continue to do the same today. Now, Pastor Jerry told us last Sunday that he was bringing his messages on the fruit of the Spirit to an end. And I told the early service, that's what he said. But, you know, you can't always believe a preacher. Especially when they say that they're ending, right? And so, but no, I believe that that's his purpose, is that he's going to bring that to an end as God's taking us into a new season. And so my hope is that this Sunday and next Sunday, I will finish sharing everything that God's placed on my heart about this topic. And I was saying in early service, I'm so thankful that we have shepherds like Brother Jerry and Sister Elaine, Pastor Jerry and Sister Elaine, who are such great shepherds, because what they live to do is they live to seek the face of God for those that are under their care, for their sheep. And they long to hear the voice of God to see where it is that we need to go. The Holy Spirit knows what's around the corner in our lives. The Holy Spirit knows what we're going to be walking into next month and next year. Do you know that? He knows that. And he wants to prepare us. The scripture says that the good shepherd, that he leads us beside the still waters. He leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He wants to lead us. And I'm thankful, and I know that you are too, because you wouldn't be here, that you got pastors, I believe, for 44 years, that the cry of their heart is to take those that have entrusted their lives into their care, where it is that God wants to take them. I say all that to say this. We've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit since Easter. And since the Holy Spirit has decided to hover over this area for this length of time, for weeks and for months now, it must be a very important thing that he's wanting to work in all of our lives. Every truth of God is important, but we go through different seasons in life. And if we are a people that are willing to be led by the Spirit, then we would be wise to hear what the Spirit of the Lord would say. The Bible says it like this: he who has, or she who has ears to hear, let them hear. My wife tells me that all the time. Do you hear me? She says, I don't have very good hearing. But how many of you want to have good spiritual hearing? And so as the Holy Spirit has been emphasizing the fruit of the Spirit and the development of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, it's so important that we wholeheartedly allow God to do everything that he's wanting to do in our lives during this season. And I believe that he's digging and building a great foundation in this area of our lives. And so I want to continue today talking to you about how to live a fruit-filled life, because God has purposed for our lives to be lives that are filled with the fruit of his Spirit. And if you have your notes, you can follow along, or maybe on the screen, or if your Bible or your iPhone or iPad, you can point and click. But I want to go to Galatians 5:22, which is our theme verse for this series. And it says this: but when, everybody say, but when. And we're in the NLT, but when the Holy Spirit controls our lives. And let me just stop there for a second. If God wrote this sentence, then he knew what he was saying. He was saying that there can be times for a believer when the Holy Spirit controls your lives. But when the Holy Spirit is controlling our lives, that means that there must be times when the Holy Spirit may not be controlling our lives. It's depending upon us. See, the Holy Spirit can only control our lives when we give him the keys to the car. The Holy Spirit can only be in charge of my life to the extent that I'm willing to surrender my life to him. And all of us in this room have areas of our life that we've turned pretty much the whole thing over to him. But we also have areas in our life where he is not in control. And when he is not in control, it's not good. Because our life can only be what we can make it. And if you've lived as long as I have, I'll tell you how long that is one day. If you've lived as long as I have, I can't tell that story. You'll find out, right, that life doesn't, it needs to be a whole lot more than what Stephen Willis can make it. If I could resolve my problems, if I could turn my circumstances around, if I could fix things in my life, I would have done it. But those areas of our life where the Holy Spirit is yet to be in control, he is desiring to be in control. It's God's order that the Holy Spirit would be in control in our lives. But he's not going to take control. He's not going to wrest control from us, because God didn't create robots. He created humans. and he gave us a free will. And so our frustration many times in our Christian walk is, well, why don't God do this? And why don't God do that? And why don't I see God move in this area? Can we just come back to the truth? We can try to overanalyze all these things, but the simple truth is this. If we come back to it, if it's not right, it's not God's fault. Okay? God is always right. And God is always able to do. The fault lies in me somewhere. I need to surrender. Y'all seen that old bumper sticker that somebody thought was real cute? And if you've got one on your car, don't be offended. But it says, God is my co-pilot. It'd be better to say God is my pilot. Because I don't know where I need to go, but he knows where I need to go. But when the Holy Spirit is in control of our lives, he will produce. Everybody say, he will produce. I don't know if I'll get beyond this verse, but we'll just stay here for a second. When he's in control, he will produce. So far, this verse is much about him and not much about me. When he is in control, if we will give him the control, if we'll give him the reins in our life, then the scripture says that he will produce in our lives the following things. If you don't get anything else out of this message this morning, I want you to leave here with this. And that is that the Holy Spirit is the producer and we are only the distributors. We can't produce a thing of the Spirit in our own life. The Spirit has to birth it in our lives. But when he is in control, when the Holy Spirit is in control of our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us. Fruit that looks like love. And I want you to think about this as I call these out, because we can kind of get lost in these nine fruits of the Spirit. Do you remember learning the little songs I did grow up in Sunday school about the fruit, and they were on the bulletin board and all that? But the fruit of the Spirit is way more powerful than that. The fruit of the Spirit is the foundation for the believer's life. The fruit of the Spirit is the foundation for what God can do in our lives and through our lives. And as I call out these words, these are supernatural, Spirit-born, Spirit-produced fruit that comes into, that are produced in our life as we allow the Holy Spirit to have control. They're foundational. Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. These are all fruit that will be produced in our life as the Holy Spirit has control of our life. Look at verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and the desires of their sinful nature to the cross and have crucified them there. The production of the fruit of the Spirit in our life is a daily process. It's a daily process of me getting up every morning as a child of God, as a believer, as one that calls him my heavenly Father, and saying that who I was is not going to rule my life, but who you are is going to be in charge of my life. That the person that I was and the nature that I had before I met Jesus and before it came through the cross is not going to be given precedence in my life. But I'm going to yield to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to yield to truth. I'm going to yield to the power and the presence of God in my life so that today my life produces the fruit of the Spirit by the power of the Spirit. So that when you're going to Walmart and you see the perfect parking spot and it's going to be great, so you don't have to exercise at all. You'll be right by the front door. And you go to pull in and you got K-Love on and you're happy and you're praying in the Spirit, right? And somebody whips in there ahead of you and steals your parking spot. The natural thing would be for you to have anger rise up within you and say, who do they think they are? That was my spot. Didn't they see my name on it, right? Let's be real, real. Has anybody ever felt that before? Wow, two people are honest in the whole building. The rest of you, what do you, you don't drive or what? Oh, I know, you don't go to Walmart. This verse tells us what we do is we take in that moment, we take that anger and we crucify it. And fresh and anew, and we say that that old man, that that old nature, that one who would be prideful and arrogant and self-seeking and angry, we're not going to let him rule and reign in my life. Rather, the reservoir of the Spirit of God on the inside of me is going to enable me to do something supernatural. That is to walk in love. To pick up my hand and instead of doing something else with it, I'm going to wave at them. And I'm going to smile at them. And I, out of the river of God on the inside of me, I'm going to be able to bless them out of my mouth and not curse them out of my mouth. And I'm going to be able to maybe even be listening to the Spirit of God and Him. Maybe He gives me a word for that person. Or maybe He tells me, you know what, they might be going through a really hard time. And I run, park my car, and I run back up there and I open the door for them. And I just say, God wanted me to let you know that He loves you and He helps you have a blessed day. And it's not sarcastic. It's authentic. See, these fruit are not natural. If we get up every day and we try to live the Christian life and produce these things in our own life, we will stay extremely frustrated because we know we're supposed to forgive and we know we're supposed to go the extra mile and we know that we're supposed to turn the other cheek and we find ourselves not able to do it over and over and over again. And the most frequent spiritual discipline that we have in our life is repentance. And repentance is good, but God wants us to come to a place where we overcome some things. And that He is able to produce some things in us. And let me just say this. He wants to produce in our life fruit. And the scripture says that it will be fruit that will remain. And we don't stock our own shelves. It's got to be the Holy Spirit that produces this fruit within us. But there should be fruit in our lives so that it's kind of like we're a fruit stand that's open for business. And so when a situation like that occurs, instead of trying to muster up the self-will to do it right, I have a reservoir of goodness of the fruit of God on the inside of me. And it's like somebody walks up to the fruit stand and you got all these baskets that are just overflowing with tomatoes and squash and all that good stuff. And what they did was they just reached out there and they picked up some of that goodness right there. And I didn't even know any left because I'm filled with the goodness of God. The fruit of the Spirit is foundational to the Christian walk. It's not about a bunch of works. It's about being with Jesus. The Holy Spirit will produce this fruit in our lives. The verse says Galatians 5:25, it says this, if we are living now by the Holy Spirit, let us follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. We have that scripture we could put on the screen. If we follow the Holy Spirit's leading. No, it says, if we are living by the Holy Spirit, let us follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. So what that means is this. It means there can be parts of our lives that we're not following the Holy Spirit's leading. And it's important that we allow the Holy Spirit to identify those things in our life and we surrender those areas to Him. And how many of you know that the desert will become a blossoming garden in our lives? See, when Jesus was on the earth, He was the embodiment of the fruit of the Spirit. The older I get, the more I love Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I love to read Jesus. I love to read Jesus because He said this. He said, I came to reveal to you the Heavenly Father. See, everything that we see in Jesus is an exact replica of who God really is. And what we saw in Jesus when He was on the earth is we saw the fruit of the Spirit being born in His life in every situation and in every circumstance. He walked in love. He walked in joy. He walked in peace. He walked the supernatural life of the fruit of the Spirit. But the amazing thing was this. So many times we look at Jesus and we think, well, you know, that was Jesus and I could never be like Him. Well, why would God say that His whole role and goal for our life is that our lives would resemble the walk of Jesus? That He predestined us and He had a plan for us that our lives would be shaped and conformed into the image of Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus was only intended to be the firstborn of many brethren. Meaning that He was the first like that, the first filled with the Spirit of God, the first that had that the Spirit of God on the inside of Him that was bearing this kind of fruit in the earth that brought glory to the Father and brought heaven to earth. Do you know when we bear the fruit of the Spirit in our life, it brings heaven to earth. It brings the supernatural to the natural. See, the natural world does not understand the things of God. See, the natural world does not understand unconditional love. The natural world does not understand joy in the midst of tribulation. The natural world does not understand nor comprehend peace in a storm. But when we have that coming into us and flowing through us, it's bringing heaven to earth. Jesus personified the fruit of the Spirit while he was on the earth because he walked in the character of God. And as we allow the fruit of the Spirit to be developed in our life, then what's happening is we're allowing the character of God to be formed in our lives. If we want to skip this part and we want to run on to all the other stuff, believe in God for this and God use me for this and all those other things, then we're shortcutting God's process. God is more interested in who we are, let me say this, than what we do. God is more interested in who we are than what we do. Many times we have it all backwards. We're thinking that we got to do this and we got to do that. And God's saying, I want you to be this and I want you to be that. Living a fruit-filled life. Let me give you three things really quick that this fruit evidences in my life. Fruit changes my life. When I allow the fruit of the Spirit to be produced in me by the Holy Spirit, it changes my life. It changes my circumstances. It changes my relationships. It changes my sphere of influence. See, when we allow God to produce something in us, then it can flow through us. It transforms first me internally, but then it can flow through me to those around me. If I don't have peace in me, then I'm not going to have peace in my storm. If I don't have joy in me, I'm not going to have joy in my tribulation. So the fruit of the Spirit comes first to transform me and to transform my relationships. Let me ask you this. Does it matter if we have the fruit of love operating in our life when it comes to, let's say, our marriage? Anybody know what I'm talking about? To the degree that I've allowed the Holy Spirit to teach me what love is, to the degree that I understand and I've allowed Him to work in me and produce in me a love that knows how to turn the other cheek, to lay down my life, to be a peacemaker, to the degree that I allow the Holy Spirit to develop that fruit in my life, will it impact my relationships? So the fruit of the Spirit comes to transform my life, to transform my relationships and my circumstances. The other thing the fruit of the Spirit does is it points people to God. It points people to God. When people see us walking supernaturally and they see those things in our life, they don't get it. They're like, what's different about you? And what we do is we do like this and we say, this is just God. There's nothing in me that can act like this. There's nothing in me that wants to talk like this. But God in me has changed me, and all glory goes to God. And see, God said that He wants to cover the earth with His glory, like the waters cover the sea. And the only way that's going to happen is when His fruit is evidenced in our lives as we are all around the globe. His glory shines forth in the earth. And then lastly, the fruit in our lives become spiritual nourishment for the people around us. Fruit is for nourishment. Fruit is for nutrition. When our lives are bearing fruit, then the people around us are able to partake of that fruit, and it's able to change their situation and circumstance. You might be the only one under the roof of your house who is allowing God to produce things in you that your household needs for salvation, for turnaround, for breakthrough. There might not be anyone else in that house who is kind to one another. But if you allow the Holy Spirit control of your life in that area, and that you surrender that to Him and allow Him to work and produce that kindness in your life, then that kindness then becomes available as fruit, as for nourishment for the people around you. Do you follow what I'm saying? I don't know how deeply revelatory we think this is, but it's so practical. That as we allow the Holy Spirit to develop these things in our life, it changes our sphere of influence. Do you know that everyone in this room has a sphere of influence? That means your life is knit together with a group of people that my life is not knit together with. God's placed us and he's planted us in families, on jobs, in communities, around where we have a sphere of influence. The fruit of the Spirit in our life is to affect our sphere of influence with the glory of God. The scripture says this in John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and I appointed you that you should go and build a great ministry. Is that what it said? I mean, that's okay. But what he said was, I chose you and I appointed you to do this, to go and to bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And he said this, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. And in so doing, you prove yourself to be, you show yourself to be a true disciple, a true follower, a true son or daughter of the King, when our life begins to display the fruit of the Spirit. I want to read for you out of John chapter 15. If you have your Bibles, I want to read this. It'll take us about 2 minutes to read this. But I want to read it in its totality, John 15:1-8. Because it is the picture that Jesus gave us to look at so that we could wrap our mind around what it would take for us to be able to bear fruit in our life. If we're designed to be fruit bearers, and God has called us as our number one priority to be those that are led by the Spirit and allow him to build fruit into our life, we need to know how we're going to do that. So between now and next Sunday, I want to cover three keys that Jesus reveals in this passage of scripture that we need to receive into our life that will help us be the fruit bearers that he's called us to be. So real quickly, let's read John 15:1-8. I don't know why I'm saying real quickly. There's nothing better we can do than read the Word of God. So let's let it be life. Holy Spirit, quicken it to us. John 15:1 says, this is out of the New King James. I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And I want to deal with that next Sunday. One of the things that we've got to do is we've got to understand the heart of the vine dresser. We've got to know the heart of the gardener. You know who the gardener is? Well, it's the Father. We've got to know the heart of the Father. But I want to deal with this verse specifically next week, because I used to didn't like this verse, but now I like this verse a whole bunch. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. This whole verse, we could take it out. But no, this verse is good. Okay, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Everybody say much fruit. For without me, you can do a few things. Nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them, throw them in the fire, they're burned. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. See, vineyards weren't foreign to them of the day. They were familiar with grape vineyards. May have even been standing in one when Jesus was having this discourse with the disciples before he was getting ready to go to the Garden of Gethsemane at the end of his life. And one of the final things he wanted to reveal to them was this. He wanted to reveal to them the importance of bearing fruit and how it was to be done. But there are three basic components. And if you've got your notes, you can fill this in your notes. There are three basic components that I want to touch on. And not all of them today, just one of them today. But first, the vine dresser is the Father. And he is the fruit cultivator. He is the fruit cultivator. It says, see, each one of these has a role and a responsibility. If the vineyard's going to produce the fruit that it's supposed to produce and it's designed to produce, each one of these has to do their role. So the vine dresser is the gardener, and that is the Heavenly Father, Jesus is telling us. And his role is to cultivate the branches and the vines in the vineyard so that they yield the maximum amount of fruit that is possible. That is the job of the gardener. Now, there's several things involved in that, and that's what I'm going to deal with next Sunday morning. I want to deal with what the vine dresser does to make sure that we yield the maximum amount of fruit in our life, because he lovingly does that to the branches. How many of you know that the gardener knows every branch in the vineyard? He loves every branch in the vineyard. He knows what every branch needs. So the vine dresser is the Father. Secondly, there is the vine. And the vine is Jesus, and he is the fruit producer. The Father is the fruit cultivator. Jesus is the fruit producer. He is I forgot I had pictures, right? So he is the fruit producer. So we look up here, we see that's not the Heavenly Father, but that represents the Heavenly Father. I don't know if you know he wears stripes or not. But anyway, but then you see the vine right here. The vine is what's going down into the ground. Jesus is the vine. The Father is the vine dresser. The vine is the root system for all of the branches. It is the source of life. Without the vine, there will never be any fruit. Jesus is the fruit producer in this story. And then thirdly, there are the branches. And the branches are the things that come off of the main vine up there. And the branches are what stand between the vine and the actual grapes that are hanging off. The branches are the fruit bearers. We are the branches. The Father is the vine dresser or the gardener. Jesus is the vine. He's the fruit producer. The Father is the fruit cultivator. And we are the branches. We're the fruit bearers in this whole picture. So I want to quickly take this and break it down. I want to give you 3 points over the next 2 weeks that are keys to us having a fruit-filled life. The first one, we'll take the next 15 minutes and we'll talk about it and we'll be done today. Key number one is a fruit-filled life requires abiding in the vine. Abiding in the vine. Jesus said over and over in the passage we read, you have to abide in me. Abide in me and I in you. A branch cannot bear fruit of itself. No matter how hard it tries, no matter how much it wants to, there is no branch in that vineyard that if it's not connected to that vine, to that source of life, that it will ever be able to produce anything on its own. See, the simple truth of the matter is in our lives, our ability to bear fruit is directly tied to our abiding in Jesus. And so what do I want to say about this? If you hear nothing else that I say, it's this. This is not so that you're going to have A, B, C, D all the way through Z, all the hoops you're going to have to jump through in order to abide in the vine. Abiding in the vine is about relationship. It's not works. Abiding in the vine is about relationship. Go ahead and read a little bit further in John 15 and you say this. This is what Jesus says. I don't call you slaves. He said, I call you my friends. I call you my friends. He's invited us into an intimate relationship with him. And he says, the only way that your life is going to begin to look like my life is if you abide in me. That word abide there means to remain. It doesn't mean to visit. It doesn't mean that you go to the vine on Sunday morning at 10:30 and then you go everywhere else and then you come back to the vine the next Sunday morning. See, abiding in the vine is walking with Jesus. Abiding in the vine is relationship with Jesus. He says if we don't abide in him, we will not be able to bear any fruit. See, that word means to dwell permanently or to make your home there. How many of us in our walk with the Lord have come to the place where we understand what we've been invited to is to make our home with Jesus? Not to make him a part of our life, but to make him the central foundation for our whole life. Amen. Abide in me and I in you. It's not, this was the Holy Spirit. I typed it. At least I liked it. I thought it was good. Jesus wasn't telling us that we need to do more for him, rather that we need to be more with him. Can we say that again? Jesus was not trying to convey to us the thought that there's more things that we need to do for him, but rather what he was trying to say is it's all about relationship. You need to not do more for me, you need to be more with me. You need to be more with me. And you think, well, how can I be more? He's promised me he will never leave me or forsake me. You ever rode in the front seat of the car with your spouse and you were in the same car, but you weren't together? You ever been with somebody and not been with somebody? You know what I'm talking about? You ain't thinking about them. You ain't connecting with them. You're not paying them any attention. You can be in proximity of something and still not be abiding in something. And see, Jesus will never leave us or forsake us. He is always with us, but he's always gently knocking on the door of our heart. And we have the power of the doorknob to say, we will let you come in or not let you come in. Abiding in Jesus is the key to bearing fruit in our life. It's not just knowing more about Him. And it's not just doing all these things. It's walking with Him and talking with Him and hearing Him and knowing Him and finding Him and being with Him. And you probably think, well, in order to do all that, I need to be a monk in a monastery somewhere, right? But God would never put together a plan and ask us to walk it out that wasn't possible for us to walk out. He knew that you were going to be changing diapers in the night. He knew that you would stop and get gas as you're late on the way to work. He knew that that car would cut you off at the intersection. He knew that you would have to punch the clock. He knew that you were going to have to work with people that were not so great to work with. He knew you had a mortgage that you were going to have to. He knew all that. And he said, still yet, in all of this, the key to bearing fruit in your life is if you be with me. See, what I love about Jesus and what I love about the covenant that we have with God is that I love my quiet time in the morning. I love my prayer chair, if you will. I love to have those intimate times with God where I let His word abide in me and I talk to Him and He talks to me. I love that I have that time in the morning and that's great. But I love that when I get up and I leave and I go to punch the clock, that I don't leave the vine back there in the prayer chair. He is with me. He is with me when I'm having the interview with my boss, the assessment. He is with me when we're facing a breakdown of a machine. And He is there. And if I will access Him, if I will access the Spirit of God, if I will be with Him, if I will be led by the Spirit, how many of you know my life will begin to produce more and more and more fruit? Now, it'd be great if you plugged your cell phone in once a week. How many of you do that? You plug your cell phone in once a week and you run on that charge all week long. Some of you have done burned up the whole charge in 30 minutes. You know who you are. You got 15 of those portable chargers in your purse, ladies. That's not how we can do with Jesus either. We can't just plug in every once in a while and think that we're going to walk in love. We're going to walk in forgiveness. We're going to be gentle and we're going to be kind and we're going to have self-control. When we hear Pastor Jerry preach once a week on Sunday morning, it has to become real life. It has to become a relationship. And the more of Jesus we have in our life, the less frustrated we're going to be with life because we learn the essence of abiding in the vine, that life begets life, that it's through the vine that comes the sap and the nutrients and the DNA and the antibodies and everything that comes up through that vine, through me, providing me everything that I need. The Bible says that pertains to life and godliness in this life. If we're going to bear fruit, then we have to abide in the vine. I'm running out of time, so let me see what I want to say. Vigorous nourishment beneath the bark, through small capillary tubes, nutrients and water flows up through the vine into every branch. See, the only limitation on the amount of life, the only limitation on the amount of sap that goes to the fruit is the circumference of the branch where it meets the vine. Let me say that again. The factor that determines how much life and how much nutrients is able to make it to the fruit production in our life has everything to do with the circumference of the position of the branch to the vine. And you know who's in control of the circumference of the branch to the vine? It's us. Because the reality is we're as close to Jesus as we want to be. We are as close to Jesus as we desire to be. We're as close to Jesus as we choose to be. And He wants to increase that in our life. You know, when you look at the life of Jesus, you see a person that understood this in its totality. And he modeled it and He mentored it for us. Why did Jesus, getting close to October, if you're a baseball fan, playoffs, right? Why did He bat 1,000? You ever thought about that? Why did Jesus bat 1,000? Every time He prayed for somebody, they got healed. You know, every time He tried to resurrect somebody, they came alive. Every time He told a storm to be quiet, it was quiet. He told us why, because He knew how to abide. He said, I ain't even going to try it if the Father didn't say try it. And I'm not going to say it if I didn't already hear him say it. And so for us, the issue is developing a relationship where we remain with Jesus. Getting past all of the religious duties. Listen, spiritual disciplines are good, but spiritual disciplines aren't the goal. Jesus is the goal. Wayne Jacobson wrote a book, In My Father's Vineyard, and he said this. I think it's so powerful. He said, don't expect grace to cover up your neglect by producing spiritual fruit. Grace restores us to God's presence. Grace cleanses us from our sin. But grace will never produce fruit when we have not been spending time in the presence of Jesus. See, grace makes up for our weaknesses and grace covers our weaknesses, but grace allows us to have access. Have you ever thought about that? Come boldly before the throne of grace. See, one of the biggest challenges for all of us is that we don't feel we're worthy. See, abiding in the vine is about identity too. It's who we are. We were made to be in union with Jesus Christ. Can we bring up that vine again? Picture 2A-C3. I don't know. I can't remember what I named. It's the one that went up like this. The thing about it, let me just explain it like this. If you look at the vine where it connects to the branch, you can't see a defining point where one ends and the other one starts. See, the branch is so much a part of the vine, it looks like the vine. It's intertwined with the vine. They become one and the same. And we're invited into that kind of relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And we want to run around and be fruit-centered. And Jesus said, you got to be root-centered. We're out here trying to do all these things and trying to make him happy. And he said, what makes me happy is for you to get it. And for you to get it, what you need to know is you've got to dwell with me. You've got to abide with me. You've got to hear me. Learn to hear my voice. So like the scriptures that say, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. Has that really settled down into our spirit where we understand that seeking first the kingdom is walking with Jesus? It's not checking the box that I made every service and that, you follow what I'm saying? It's abiding with Jesus. David said this. He said, one thing I desire, one thing I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. What was he saying? That I could abide with my Father. That I could walk with Jesus. He said, one thing I desire. You know what desire is? It's hunger. It's fuel. That's what hunger does. I know some of you are hungry right now. And your hunger is going to produce in you the pursuit of something. Right? For some of you, your hunger is going to produce the pursuit of Mazio's buffet. For some of you, your hunger is going to produce the pursuit of a microwave meal. I don't know. But your hunger causes you to pursue things. David said, I hunger and I crave for the presence of Jesus. That's what he said. You may say this morning that, okay, I hear what you're saying. I hear that a lot of the things in my life aren't working out and these things aren't coming forth in my life because I haven't been walking with Jesus the way that I should. But let me just be honest with you. I really don't hunger for that. Could we be honest? Have you ever been there in your life? It's like my life is full. My life is full. How am I going to do that more? How is that going to become a part of my life? Well, see, the problem is this. Anybody enjoy Thanksgiving? Oh, yes, I love turkey and dressing and all that stuff. And I love the fact that I usually have to go to about 3 different places and eat it all over and over again. You know what I'm talking about? Get up on that morning, you know, and you're ready to go. I can't wait to get to mom's house. I ain't got to go far now. She's just across town. We usually do our Thanksgiving meal at home the night before, but you get up and I can't wait to smell the turkey, can't wait to feed on the dressing, can't wait for the pecan pie, all of that stuff. And I have a hunger that's just, that's propelling me there. You know what I'm talking about, right? It's the same hunger that propels you to the icebox at night to get a bowl of ice cream, right? But that's what hunger does. It's, when you have a crave, it propels you to pursue things. But you know, when you go to that first meal and you just can't wait and you fill your plate to overflowing and you eat all that stuff and it is so awesome. And you're so just full to the brim. That was so great. And then you remember in just a few minutes that you got to go to the other parent's house and you got to do it all over again. Does it still sound so good to you? No, because you're full. See, David said, one thing I desire, there's one thing I hunger for, there's one thing I crave. And the reason he could say that was because he wasn't so full of all the other things, all the other junk. See, Jesus is saying, come to me, all that you who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Let me take your burden from you. Come abide with me. Come dwell with me. And what happens is we've got to begin to empty our lives of some things to make room for the desire and for the hunger. See, the other reason that you like stuff is because you eat stuff. Did anybody ever make you eat something when you was a kid that you didn't like? My boys used to call them green trees. We called them green trees. We didn't call them broccoli. Okay. Didn't like them at first. Really didn't enjoy it at first, but I kept eating it. I kept partaking of it, and it became something that I craved, something that I hungered, something that I longed for. See, it's the same way with the presence of Jesus. If you're not craving it and you're not desiring it, it's because you ain't had enough of it yet. And if you will make it priority in your life and you will say that wherever I go, I'm taking Jesus with me. And whatever I'm doing, I'm going to be attentive to him. And you begin to carve out a bigger and bigger space in your life, then you will begin to see that fruit begin to rise in your life. One thing I desire and one thing I seek, and that is to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because he says this, if you don't abide in me, listen, it doesn't matter how many years you've been going to church, don't matter how many roles you've been on, member of, in churches, it doesn't matter any how many degrees you've got, it doesn't matter how many works you do, if you do not abide in me, you're going to wither. Bottom line, my life is withering in an area. Well, I'm not abiding in that area. Jesus is not in control of my life in that area. Well, I want him to be. I mean, I didn't mean for him to. It doesn't matter if the limb got knocked off or if the limb jumped off. The result is still the same. If we're not connected to Jesus, there is no way to have life. We've got to return to the source of life. So, in a nutshell, if we're going to live the Christian life, if we're going to produce fruits like love and joy and peace and all these things that are life changing, marriage changing, household transforming, world changing, then it's going to come down to this. I got to be with Jesus. Listen, he don't hide. He don't leave. He's there. We've got to open the door for him in our lives. Now, listen. Just like any friend that you've had in life, maybe you met someone and you met them and you didn't know them very well and they didn't know you very well. And maybe conversation wasn't real easy at first, but as you spend more time together, you learn each other. And for some of you, you may have been coming to church for a long time, but you haven't learned Jesus yet. I just want you to know he calls you friend. He calls you friend. And he invites you to remain with him. So as you choose to open that door, I love that picture, and Jesus steps into your house. He said, I'll pull up a chair to your table, and I'm not going to ask you if you've done everything right, and if you're perfect, and if you can quote 74 scriptures. I'm just going to be with you. That's the kind of God we serve. He just wants to be more with us. So he's saying to you this morning, I'm not calling you to do more for me. I'm calling you to be more with me. Be more with me. Could we stand to our feet? A fruit-filled life is so important, but we can't do it. But we can be with Jesus. We can increase the circumference of the connection that we have to the vine. Do you know that? See, a vine dresser does not even expect a new branch, a shoot they call it. They don't even expect a branch to bear fruit for the first 3 years. Because they understand that it's a process of building a relationship with the vine. See, the most fruit-producing branches in the vineyard are the ones that have been there the longest and have the largest connection to the vine. Fruit bearing is a process. It's a journey. Don't be discouraged by where you are. Just grab the key that God has given you and begin the journey with Jesus. And it'll change your life. Do we have a closing song? We do. So what we're going to do is we're going to just practice that for about the next 3 minutes. And I know if your hunger's pulling you to Mazio's, buffet doesn't close to 1:30. So if you get there at 12:08 or 12:11, it's not really going to matter much to your belly. But it might matter some to your spirit. You have to take these moments that God offers us and you got to do something with them. Now in the next three minutes, what you could do is you could let your mind go everywhere else. But we've got to be more with Him. Altars are open. Floors are open. Wherever you want to be, let's take 3 minutes to be all in with Jesus. And let Him know that we want to be where He wants us to be. In Jesus' name.